Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
On today's podcast, we're talking about blind spots.
I would bet he doesn't know how much our mortgage is.
Even though we both suck at money, we both have our own unique way of sucking at money.
Oh my God. By the way, honey, we need to spend $1,500 for the fantasy football winner.
What?
Because what? I spent all that money.
If that happened.
It has happened.
Oh.
It's happened at least 3 times since we've been married.
I wish the listeners could have seen Kim's face.
How much is our water bill? How much is
I
our
don't
power
know
bill?
Any of those
no,
things.
How much?
My wife never wants to make love to me. It's because you never have time to tell me how beautiful I am.
I sat on an open toilet seat.
Yeah.
This week.
It's not bad.
It's the Holderness Family Podcast. Let's get started.
Joining us now is Christopher Edmonston.
Christopher has been on this podcast many times. He is our moral compass.
And he's
Why
laughing.
Are you laughing? He's already laughing at me.
Here's the deal, and I'm just going to put this out there. We are going to do our darndest to write a book. And we listen, my parents did their marriage did not last. They tried real hard though. They were married for 27 years. They're now happily married to other people, so that's cool. But they went through 5 marriage counselors. They worked really hard. It did not last. So I've been fascinated with why some marriages work and some don't. And mine is working so far.
Are you counting down those 27 years to make sure? Is that like, I'm wondering, do you actually think about that? Like once you get to 27, are you going to be psyched that you outlasted your mom?
No, it's not a contest. No, but that's the thing is that by this point in their marriage, they had already, they'd been separated and back together. And there was not like one thing that, it was like a gradual thing over 27 years. So I've been fascinated with it, which is why we do talk to Christopher often, because I think a healthy marriage deserves some examination. So we are going to, the three of us, write some sort of book. Whether that's published in a store or on the internet, or we just give it away for free on the street corner, I don't know.
We have lots of great ideas. Christopher has lots of great ideas. No one really writes books with 3 people writing, so we're working
Why
on that.
Why is that? Oh,
it's impossible.
Because we're finding that out. It's real hard to have 3 people in one book.
I sent my first page out this morning, and I got this like, please send this into Google Docs so Kim and I can edit with red pen. That was the first thing I woke up to. I'm like, bleep, this is going to be terrible. No, but for real, it's the reason why we're doing this is because not only do we totally respect what Christopher has to say, he explains the minutiae of relationships in a way that no one else can. We think it's entertaining. We think it's true. And so we've brought him in today to help with blind spots.
Yeah, so the topic is null agenda and the things you don't talk about.
Chris has been trying to talk for at least a minute now.
So
and
let's
we keep
see how long
on
we
him.
Can go.
Let's just go back and forth until he interrupts us.
I'm still back on trying to be your moral compass.
Well, you, I mean, you know, kind of are. There's some things I'm Anyway.
I think that, and what is the danger, Christopher? Let's just, what is the danger of the things, the blind spots, the things we don't talk about?
The danger is actually not that different than when you're driving your car. So even though you can't see what's in your blind spots can knock you off the road, knock you out of your lane, become a danger if you don't know they're there. And the blind spots of marriage, what I sometimes call the null, N-U-L-L agenda, the things that you're not talking about, putting on the agenda of your relationship, those can be the things that end up harming you the most, doing the most damage, or knocking you off course the easiest, just because you can't see them. Just because you're not talking about them doesn't mean they're not there.
And it, as the I do know that my default setting and when conflict is present is to stop talking and to clear my head, walk out the door, get in the car, take a drive. I do not do that. Well, I have done it. But I try real, real hard not to, because I know that's not a healthy way to deal with things and conflict. So, but isn't there something to be gained for just like, I'm not going to talk about this right now. Like the way he's, you know, the way he's parenting right now, I'm not going to deal with it. Let's just deal with it when we have more time. Isn't there value of like not talking about things sometimes?
There can be value not talking about things unless it becomes something you never talk about because you keep punting it down the road. Putting something on delay, saying, you know, I don't have time for this now. I need to bring it up tomorrow or the next time I see her doing it or him doing it. That's fine, but you actually have to live with the plan. You actually have to make the plan, or else you're just punting it down the road, and what becomes maybe a minor annoyance that's happening every now and then becomes something that's a blind spot. Even though it's not a blind spot to you in that scenario, it's a blind spot to your partner.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I just got blindsided here. I know, like, we're going to talk about money. That was part of our intro. We're going to discuss money because that is our main blind spot. You just gave a very specific example about my parenting when you...
No.
Okay, so has there been, like, one of those situations where you've seen me parenting incorrectly and walking away?
No.
That's what you just said.
I know, honey. I used it as like an example. I have to say, we are...
I'm very defensive. I've had three cups of coffee this morning.
We don't have a lot of... Our biggest blind spot, I think, is a blind spot for a lot of people, which is money.
Money.
And
money.
Finances. Okay, we're going to take a quick break and get back to that in a second. But first, one of our most favorite local bands, or bands, just bands.
Yeah, we actually use these people as kind of a Prozac or a Xanax.
Mandolin Orange, we're talking about.
Yeah, they are a very holistic drug when you are super stressed out and you need to like just chill. We put them on in the car. We put them on in the house. And it is American folk music. It is a modern version of it. It is the two purest, most beautiful voices you've ever heard. And when they said, do you guys want to promote us on your podcast? We're like, what?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the new single, The Wolves, from the new album, Tides of a Teardrop, is now available. It's going to be released was released January 9th. NPR calls the band a slow-burning, steadily rising folk duo that exudes gentle elegance.
That sounds so NPR.
No, but I really, because everybody knows I get a little anxious, a little anxiety.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that music in the background, cooking dinner, I love it.
Real quick, if we're going to do an NPR quote, we have to sound like an NPR person when we say it.
Okay.
They're a slow-burning, steady-rising folk duo that exudes gentle elegance.
Yes.
That's
so go to Amazon.com and order their new album, Tides of a Teardrop, from Mandolin Orange. Again, that's Mandolin Orange. They're the best. We're going to have them in the studio.
Did you know this, Max?
Very shortly.
Max they is excited.
Yeah. Coolest ever.
Yeah, yeah. I think what I want to do is, like, if can they bring their instruments and can I harmonize with them for like 10 seconds?
We'll try. I don't know. They can harmonize.
You know how much I like to harmonize with anything.
Okay. Maybe you and Christopher can harmonize. 5, 6, 7, 8.
That's not harmony. That's an octave. Come on.
Sorry.
No, you're doing an octave.
Let me go first, then you harmonize.
Okay.
I can guarantee you, Mandolin Orange is much better.
Boom, 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 boom. Love you guys.
And back to the show.
Everything's so great, can't get better. Makes me wanna cry, but I'll
money, 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 money. Bam, 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 bam.
We have the joy, the particular joy of not only running a house together, but running a business together.
Right.
So our money is all entangled. And to top it all off, we both suck at money.
Yeah. And I mean, I suck. You probably would. I'm dragging you down.
Most people really struggle with it. Just
and so I don't. We have like a guy that I give a check to every year and say, like, just put this somewhere. I don't know how much money we have. Like, if you ask me for retirement, like, I think we have an account.
It also might be a Ponzi scheme.
He went to high school with him, so I don't know. Like, I don't even know if he has like an actual business.
He has an office.
Yeah.
So did Bernie Madoff.
So did Bernie Madoff.
Oh, a lot of people lost a lot. Actually, like our
we have friends who lost.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, back to this.
So there we go. Here's our kind of walk, our journey with the money thing. Newlyweds, we had no money. You had kids, had zero money. Like, would lie awake, suffocating, weight on the chest. Holy crap, we have no money. And so I changed jobs. I got out of the news business. I started a business just because I knew that, although it was a huge risk, I knew I could make more money if I had a business as opposed
to longer term, like 5 years or so, it would make more sense.
Long-term plan. Penn loves a long-term plan. Okay. So we were able to turn that into this bleep show that we're doing right now. Yeah. So the suffocating weight of it is not present every day, but it's there. And also, it may be, we just don't pay attention to it.
Let me ask you this. When you do have to talk about it, do you dread it as it's building up?
Like, yes.
So that says a lot.
Yes.
And here's why. Because we have differing opinions. When even though we both suck at money, we both have our own unique way of sucking at money. I suck at money because I don't trust anybody. She sucks at money because she bought a juicer this morning.
I'm celery juicing for a video, and it's going to be amazing.
No. I think she... Okay, let me try to, like, because we've never talked about this, so we're going to try this. I don't know why we're doing this now, but maybe it's a good idea. I think I know what my problem is. I'm trusting. I'm not very trusting in people doing a craft that we do that is very intimately, personally, subjectively important to not have too many other people working on.
Let me interrupt and say our fight is about we need to hire people within our business to help us create more content. You know, we're talking about shooters, editors, Max. We should finally pay him. I'm kidding. We pay Max.
and my in is yes, but not yes. And yes, but in this business and in this world, there is no better way to be yourselves than to do it yourselves.
In this business.
In our world.
In your world.
Probably in many people's world.
Well, that's probably right. Yeah. What's interesting is that what's unique to you guys that'll be different from a lot of your listeners is we started talking about money and personal finance, and we've got a guy who may or may not be Bernie Madoff. And the specific problem you're having right now is how much money from the business do we need to hire?
Right.
Right. How much of the money from the business do we need to be spending on outside people when we feel like we can do it ourselves? At least as well, if not better. The trouble is, if you try to do everything yourselves, you kill yourself.
Right.
I mean, that's the issue.
I feel like we're all dealing with this.
Right.
Everyone in this room is dealing with this on some level.
In some level, that's exactly right. And I particularly think anybody that runs their own business or has their own brand or has their own office someplace, small business people deal with this question every single day, particularly if it's a family business. And I don't know what the percentage of family businesses are, small businesses that are family businesses, but I bet you it's pretty high.
Yeah.
I would have to think it's pretty high. The key, right, isn't so much the solution that you get to. As a marriage listener, as a marriage storyteller, as a marriage someone that does marriage care, marriage counseling, I'm not so much interested in the answer. I can't give you the answer. I'm really interested in the process of how you get there.
Yeah, because the entry conversation, like, there needs to be some kind of script for this. Because anytime there is something that we're kind of dancing around, whenever it gets brought up, it is in incendiary fashion almost always, whether it's passive aggressive or whatever, it sets off like a nuclear bomb.
Well, it does, because to go back to the thing, in your blind spot, you know it's hard, so you don't bring it up as often as you should, and therefore it gets more difficult to bring up because it just keeps taking up more and more place in that blind spot. And that piece of your agenda that you've nullified, the one thing that I know it's hard to talk about, but I'd rather not because it always light something on fire. I almost said incendiates. That's not a word. It almost lights something on fire.
It should be.
It should be.
Yeah.
It always lights something on fire. Therefore, I'd rather not have to deal with the fire today, so I just won't say anything about it. The trouble is with business decisions for you two and with family decisions about money for most people is that by not bringing it up, you are tacitly giving permission to the other person to go ahead and buy the juicer. Right?
It's for a video.
But let's say it wasn't. Let's say it was just for you and he thought it was ridiculous. Right. And every now and then a ridiculous thing can be handled by many people's budgets. Maybe not all people, but many. But if ridiculous thing is happening all the time and is gradually growing in that blind spot and we're still not saying anything about it, eventually it's going to incendiate.
I think Let's just go with it.
Yeah. So that's right. So that's the question. I'm not so much interested in the answer that you got to, but did you ever have a conversation about, well, what is the budget of how much money we should spend on juicers for videos? And do we actually have some limits on how much money goes into production? Do we actually have some limits on how much money before we go out and buy the new car, a car payment we can afford, how much money we can afford for kids' clothes over the next quarter in our budget? Those are the conversations that almost no one has because they're difficult. Because, and this is for the men and women out there who are in traditional marriages, and this is for anybody that's in a relationship with a man. But generally speaking, men equate value with money. And if I don't have enough money, right, I am bringing less value to my family. Now, that's a generalization, but it's one that I found in 20 years is usually true. And so the conversation, which was really just about a juicer and how much money we're spending on production in our shared business, suddenly becomes personal to me if I'm a guy and I am on fire about it. Because what I'm hearing you say is, if you made more money, I could buy a juicer every day,
right,
and our videos would be incredible.
Yeah, and it's so funny because we work together. But I guarantee you, like, somewhere in the back of our heads, we're both thinking about, like, when we look at, you know, what we take home every year, like, you know, that part wouldn't have been possible without me. That part wouldn't have been possible without you.
Yeah.
Like, so people tend to sometimes compartmentalize what the earnings are, and that leads to maybe this is a guy thing, kind of leads to a justification for doing something or not doing something.
But, and that leads me to not a problem that we have in our right. marriage because we both work full time, but I have several friends that, and this goes into, and maybe it's a gender role thing, but where the women are either working part time or not at all, and they're right. doing the God's work of raising kids. Bless those women.
Hardest job in the world.
I tried to be a stay at home mom for about 3 months, and I was very terrible at it. I'm a better mom when I work, but that's like, so these women are dear friends of mine.
With respect to all the men I know, this is the honest to goodness truth. Hardest job in the world is working mom. Number two is stay at home mom.
Yeah.
I think
they're both impossible.
It's like, so difficult.
Equally impossible. Difficult. And so that being said, these girlfriends of mine, very close friends, we have many conversations because they want to go on a girls trip. Or they want to get a new pair of shoes or something. And the husband, the instinct and the answer and the default setting is, we don't have money for that. But then the dude goes on a golf trip.
By the way, Kim's neck just did a heavy rotation
her head split wide open.
You can't see it, but it was
good. And we don't have, you know, they don't have money to get the, you know, Sunbasket meal service. You should be, and like the unspoken thing is you should be making a dinner.
Right.
But yet, I went out with my dudes and just picked up a $300 bar tab.
Because so, I am the one.
I'm the breadwinner.
I'm the one who made the money.
There's never enough money right. except for when he wants it. And they're in the situations where like they're working part time or not working, and like that's their choice. That's fine. But still, she's working. She's working, even if it's just changing diapers.
So
like she deserves some.
Go way back in that hypothetical, which I actually think I've counseled people on this very question
right.
over the years or listened to this story multiple times. Why that gets so difficult is that it was set up to be a blind spot because before she and he made the decision that she would be a part-time, mm-hmm. you know, worker, mom, stay-at-home mom, there was never any discussion about, so what does a budget for leisure time look like for me? I'm going to have to get out of this house and be with my friends, my girlfriends, couples nights, whatever, every now and then. What does that look like? Or really a discussion about, you know, how much money is okay? You are the breadwinner right now in the way we've set this up. You really are the one who's working, supporting the family, and you should have a lot of say in how you're able to spend that money. But how much is enough for you to have fun with your friends or to take trips? And what happens is those things just, they're in our blind spots all the time, and we don't talk about them, and we start making assumptions. And before you know it, I have spent money on a guy's trip for me, denied my stay-at-home spouse money for them to do something that would be relaxing and important for their spiritual and emotional health. And I'm not even realizing what I'm doing because it seems like somebody gave me permission because it was in our blind spot. We never talked about
Can I say, like, this, we've gotten better at this, but there was a time in our lives when we didn't have a ton of money or less money. Not that we have a ton of money. We will never have a ton of money because we're terrible at it.
We like to light it on fire.
You're really giving Bernie one check a year.
Exactly. Yeah. There was a time when those moments, those kind of those dude trip moments or those girls trip moments where I would procrastinate telling her about it even after I had agreed to go to it so I could find the right time to bring it up. Max, jump in.
Oh, timing is everything.
But this is not healthy, I don't think, right?
No, I think it's super healthy in the same respect that...
Really? Okay.
My wife has the worst timing.
Can I say it can be, but keep going. It can be healthy.
She will bring up a thing that's a sore subject at the worst possible time to make that sore subject even worse.
Just to get it over with.
Conversely, I will have one locked and loaded waiting. I don't want to deflate someone when they're having the best day ever. I wait till there's a middle ground.
Like a Tuesday.
Yeah, it's like she's not sad, but she's not beaming.
Oh my God.
By the way, honey, we need to spend $1,500 for the fantasy football winner because I spent all that money earlier. I'm the commissioner. I held all the money and I just spent it. And now I owe $1,500.
Being the fantasy, any type of gambling treasurer is a bad
miserable
position.
Never agree to it.
Because it's money that you don't realize that you have, and you're just holding it for somebody.
If that happened.
It has happened.
I just haven't told you about it.
That would be the end of our marriage.
Didn't tell you.
It's happened at least three times since we've been married. That's why I'm telling you. Look, they're not going to know about it. You shouldn't say anything about it.
Because when you collect the money in the beginning of the season, you think it's going to be off into a corner, but then it's so shiny.
And then you lose.
And you're like,
But hold on real quick. Just to bring this back a little bit. Go back to that. But like when Penn said it's happened three times, I wish the listeners could have seen Kim's face. I mean, it exploded with like.
I'm buying a pair of shoes right now.
No, no, but you already do that. Like that's the thing. Well, like I get this money and it's in PayPal. You're like, look, we have all this money in PayPal.
Here's the point. Look, she's laughing because in a way it's cute and it didn't bankrupt you, okay? But she had no idea.
Right.
Literally the definition of a blind spot.
That's correct.
Because you nullified it. It was never part of the agenda on Penn's going to play fantasy sports. What does the budget for him to do that look like? Fancy football.
Yes.
What does the budget look like? And so it was clearly in her blind spot.
So what do we, sorry.
By the way, I haven't done this in many, many years, but early on, at least three times. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Thanks for doing it now.
Well, so one of the things that happened, so Max says it's always good for timing to be right. And I want to just focus on that for 1 second and say that's correct. Timing is really important.
Thank you.
When you're both exhausted, the week has just ground you down. It's Thursday night. You cannot wait for Saturday when you can sleep in past 5:30, right? That's not the time to bring up the big blind spot conversation about your marriage.
$1,500.
Not the time to bring up something that you know is going to trigger a fight, right? Just don't. Put it off a little bit. That's okay. But not having the conversation, remember, just kicks the blind spot down the road. Choose a more opportune time. And I think that can be healthy. What becomes unhealthy is this, and these are little games that couples play, and here's the great irony. I almost want to whisper it because it's one of the secrets. But the longer you're married to somebody, the better you get at playing them.
Yeah. Right?
It's basically, if I don't ask him if I can buy these shoes,
I just do it.
He doesn't have a chance to say no. And I'm keeping our money conversation still in that blind spot.
Right.
Right. If I don't ask her about being in a third fantasy football league, fantasy or fancy?
No, my dad doesn't know how to pronounce it.
He's
calls
like,
it,
"What's this with this fancy?
What's this fancy football?"
Which is way better and more
fancy
funny.
Yeah.
So
football.
Much better than fantasy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if I don't ask her about joining a third fantasy league with a $250 or $500 buy-in, she can't tell me I can't do it. And we play those games.
So what is the script? Because I think that the questions that we get are more in line with my partner's trying to like shut down my spending while still spending. So what is the script? How do you start that conversation?
Well, typically the conversation has something to do or at least follows along the lines of my spouse is continuing to spend, but he or she is trying to control all my spending.
Mm-hmm.
That happens when there's as we talked before, an imbalance between breadwinning and maybe somebody that's doing more traditional stay-at-home roles. And the issue there is almost always, how did you actually agree upon what would be appropriate to spend? Of course, the breadwinner should have some say in the money they get to spend on things that they enjoy. They're out there working. But the other person also needs that leisure time.
And that other person, by the way, is working.
It is working. That's exactly right. Yeah. I think, you know, we've said very often in the past that everybody's job brings some value to the family. Unless you're just a complete, you know, couch-dwelling lazy dog, right? You are bringing value to the family.
And maybe that's a funny lazy dog.
It
maybe,
could be.
And that's extreme value, Christopher.
My dog is funny.
You're getting upset over there.
No, right? No. What I'm saying is here, and I do want to get to the script because I think it's very helpful for me to have the words to say in these situations. But when we did the whole, Penn was, by the way, full-time caregiver in the beginning for Lola for the first like 8 months of her life.
It gave me some perspective for sure about the value of doing that.
Yes. And so when we entered that role and for a very brief time I was stay-at-home mom, the way we had a conversation about it, like you go to work for 8 to 10 hours, I'm working. When you're gone, I'm working too, even if it's just like not just wiping butts. Like wiping butts is an important job. And so so that way and the weekends we are splitting up the
free time, duties,
up, sleep, and money. I get like I get a equal, like I get spending money too, and so that was never, never the problem. So I don't really identify with my friends when they come to me and say, "Can you believe X just went on this golf trip, but I can't hire a babysitter to go out for a girls' night?"
I don't want to jump in front of you, Pam, but so you guys didn't have a big problem with it because you set an agenda.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. We go into things because they're hard to talk about, money, intimacy, parenting styles, right? And we just stop talking about them because they're difficult, and therefore they take up blind spots. And the other person has no idea that we're really concerned about what we're doing. And suddenly this thing grows. We never put it on the agenda. We nullified it because it was too difficult to talk about. And suddenly we've set patterns that are difficult to get out of. And the only way to break them is to actually put them on your marriage agenda.
And you have to have a way to start that conversation without it exploding. Let's have a pretend conversation and let's just use this as the, because I know that there's different situations. Let's use this as the template, okay? It is, and this is going to sound like a gender stereotype, but let's just do it for the sake of some of your friends, Kim. So there's a guy, he works in finance. He goes on lots of guys' trips. There's a...
Not even lots, just some. Okay.
It's not real. He
owes a lot of fancy football money.
Yeah, there is a mom who used to be a professional, who used to make a good living, who gave that up to be a full-time mother for children who are in ranges of newborn to like preschool and maybe some kindergarten. And she is noticing this imbalance of leisure time and leisure money that has sort of been an unspoken rule because of the breadwinning situation. So how does that conversation go without exploding?
Well, you know, you can't guarantee that any conversation is not going to explode. The number one thing to make sure a conversation doesn't explode is that you're both committed to being there fully. You're fully present. you're actually going to listen to what one another say. But the first step in all those conversations was another one of our podcasts a few months ago, which is mature people ask for what they want and need. And that person's going to have to say, hey, I need to have a conversation with you about how finances are divided in this home and the way that I'm maybe bringing value to this and need some time off, need some time away. You're going on these more and more expensive golf trips. You're getting in more and more fantasy football leagues.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting my share of the time to recharge, to regenerate, and that takes money. So let's talk about how we're going to spend our money in reference to the free time that we both need. And that's how you start it. You actually have to ask for what it is that you want or need.
You know what, Susan? You could go get a full-time job, and I'll stay home with the kids. Do you want to try that?
Game on.
Game on.
I'm sorry,
game.
I'm just thinking of possible.
Am I Susan in here or is Kim Susan?
You're Susan. I'm Susan. You're Susan. Kim's just laugh track.
Yeah. But I feel like in these situations where I've tried to coach my friends, that has been the response. Well, I'm exhausted. I work really hard. I'm gone all the time. I travel all the time. I want to be able to connect with my guy friends or go spend money on this. And that's just what it is. And
you know, I work from 7 a.m. every morning. Sometimes I get home at 9 p.m. Long commute. And I need a release. I need a break, and this is the money that look that I'm feeding my kids, and that's part of it. And I'm making sure that my wife has a nice outfit.
Okay, so Susan, tell me, like, what? So what's her response then?
Well, so to what Penn just said is this: if Penn is, what was your name in that scenario?
Mitch.
By the way, Mitch. If Mitch and Susan.
I'm Mitch.
If Mitch and Susan. Mitch and Susan, if they are really having that conversation the way that you just had it, what I would do is try to interject with this notion that, yes, Mitch, you do need that time away. You're working hard. But what Susan is telling you is that she's working hard too, and she needs it too. This isn't about one of you getting that time off and the other of you not receiving it. This is about how you take the resources that you do have, right, and share them more equitably because you're both working, in such a way that you both get some of the time away that you need.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it comes down to. You have to be able to, particularly in those places in your marriage where there are blind spots, find questions and find ways that don't explode. The mutual agreement that we're both working and we're both bringing value to this is essential for that conversation to go well.
And if that basic foundation isn't there, like, I don't know how the conversation advances.
No, because that's a couple that's conflicted and they need therapy.
Yeah.
You have to have the basic tools to at least be able to both sit down and say, here's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes, and I'm going to listen without internalizing it or making it incredibly personal. If everything is internalized and personal, then your marriage or life is always in chaos. And that's true at your office. Like, if the people at your office can't talk about things that are going wrong and it's always personal, your business is going to fail. So that's a little bit – once you go into conflict there, that's a little bit different than by simply, we have a blind spot, I want to talk about it.
And our blind spot, I mean, we are very jokey that there's no – like, we don't have any rhyme or reason. I am the one that pays the bills. Like, I do have a blueprint. We do – like, we have worked really hard to, like, not – we're not in debt. And we do – and I think because I am a little bit of a bus driver, here's where I – because I think that gender kind of stereotype is flipped a little bit.
Oh my gosh, the way you just said I'm a little worried about what's going
to
come next.
Because I tried to guide these conversations, and I don't feel like my husband is respectful of, like, these are the decisions I want to make. Because we both work full-time.
Well, Susan.
Okay, Mitch.
I do feel like I've empowered you to make some business decisions.
Yeah.
And you've made them.
So two things, real quick. One, abdication is okay in marriage.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to drive the bus.
Right.
Somebody has got to be responsible for certain aspects of the way family life comes together.
But then abductee, the abdicator, the one who abdicates, probably can't be the peanut gallery too, right?
Probably not.
Okay.
Right, because the trick, and it's honestly, it's a whole other podcast. It's like a whole other chapter. It's like a whole other chapter of marriage. But abdication is fine as long as the person who abdicates doesn't come back then and complain about the decisions.
Yeah, that I feel the decision like I do that maker sometimes.
Made. That's a double cross. Like
sometimes,
like you know, and think of the scenario is really easy. Like you're going to paint a new room in your house, okay? And we'll be really traditional here. And husband says to wife, "Just pick whatever color you want, honey." And then she picks some shade of green. And he comes in and he says, "This looks terrible."
Right.
That's like so mean. Like
I think.
We both do that, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I do. Like, I think we both do that.
Like, once you've abdicated, you shouldn't complain about the decision the other person makes.
Okay. That's going to be challenging for me.
That's going
to
be
because
hard.
What I want to do is let her make all the decisions.
Do all the work.
It's not all the work. You know that. You
no,
know
all
that
the I, money, the work of the money?
Sure. All the money bills. Work. You just said do all the work,
no,
though.
No, of the work of the money. Jeez, guys.
Susan.
Mitch.
Damn it, Susan.
No, this doing the work of like logging in and paying a bill and knowing where our finances are and
yeah, that
making
sounds,
sure.
Yeah, ooh.
Oh, you
it's
do
a lot
it,
of work.
Dude. Oh, oh,
no,
oh. Okay,
being,
guys.
Being
headphones
Susan
are off.
Pinned, that's
headphones the, are off. Okay, how much is our water bill? How much is
I don't
our power
know any
bill?
Of those
no,
things.
How much? No, just
you realize
guess,
I'm just
guess.
Trying to have fun here
no,
right now.
No, this
I'm
is
just,
not I'm fun. Really this is not fun. How
Mitch,
much? Like how
Mitch
much?
And Susan,
I would bet he doesn't know how much our mortgage is.
Mitch and Susan,
listen,
I think you've gone to a
how,
new place yeah. here.
I don't think that I need to worry about the cost of a gallon of milk. What's that? $75? Like I don't. Like,
he's quoting an episode.
30
right
Rock.
Now.
30 Rock.
I think that he abdicated.
Mm-hmm.
I do the work of the paying of
true,
the bills,
true.
And so therefore I do want some decision making power.
True, and I think maybe I have to take back some of my powers if I'm to have an opinion. Is that correct?
Well, no, you can have an opinion as long as that's part of the way you agreed upon it. In other words, so I think I told you guys before about those money dates that my wife and I have, right? And
yeah, they
that's
sound awesome.
Right. Well, that's the point of those, which is here's what we did. Do you want us to do anything differently? Is there anything you want us to do differently? I'll execute for us what we decide, but let's decide together because my wife's a teacher. She works so hard.
Oh my gosh.
She's bringing so much to our family in emotional, spiritual, psychological, and financial value. I work pretty hard. I'm bringing my pieces. So it's all shared. Even though I'm the one, because she's the one that's coordinating family calendars, I abdicate that to her running the family, you know,
air
UPS.
Traffic controller.
Yeah, yeah, like the logistics company that we are, right? She's doing that. She brings me up to speed on that every Sunday night. Here's what the week looks like. Here's what we've got ahead of ourselves. And we just have some practices that allow us to set those things at agenda items that make them not blind spots. So sometimes she'll say, can we do this differently financially? And then we have a conversation about it, even though I'm the
ooh,
one that's
okay,
responsible.
That's good. So let's take a pause. By the way, I'm having fun with you. I know that you – I know. I love you. I'm so grateful for you. And my strong suit is just doing what I do. I'm not a 50,000 feet good. I'm not good at it. I'm just not. Is that okay? Some people just aren't good at that. I'm so grateful for what you do. Why do you look so angry? we're trying. Like this is
say
a podcast.
Thank you, Kim.
But
say thank you. Thank you.
There
Pat.
We go. All right.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks,
okay,
Mitch.
So, but I smell another script here. Okay, because there is that thing in a marriage that you abdicate to somebody else. All right, but if you have an opinion about it, even though you've abdicated it, I don't want to be the peanut gallery guy. But how do I do that?
Well, you don't do it by the quip. So go back to my room painting example, which may or may not be helpful. The Susan paints the room green, and Mitch comes in and says, "This color is terrible."
Yeah, right. That's exact
a fight.
Thing has happened. By the
well,
way,
well, that's literally
ahead.
A fight. Like, there's no other way that's going to come. But
right.
It's a fight. You know, the best thing Susan can say is, you know, darn it, Mitch, you told me to paint this whatever color I did. How can you? That hurts my feelings. That doesn't work. It's, again, taking that step back. And it's sort of in however it is that couples process, saying before it's a chance, before the paint has been painted, to say, I want to talk about, we decided that you could decorate the house. I have some ideas and opinions. Do you mind if I share them? It's just taking the step
ooh,
back.
Do you mind if I share them?
Sure.
Okay. So if I said that, Kim, what would your response be? Do you mind if I share them?
Stop it. No, of course. I want to hear your opinion. But you're colorblind. So when it comes to decorating the house. So, bad example, decorating the house.
Actually, We both agreed that a certain color that you picked out recently.
Oh, it made a mistake.
Yeah.
No, totally.
And I couldn't say anything when it happened.
Okay.
But that was a good script. So you did this. I respect you for doing this.
Yeah.
You're the boss. We both agreed. I do have some opinions. Do you mind if I share them?
Because just because you abdicate. So couples abdicate all sorts of responsibility. Some couples, like it seems like the male figure in the couple, in a male-female couple, a male-female marriage, makes all the decisions about where we're going to dinner or what date nights look like, or is responsible for all the romance. I mean, if you don't show up with chocolates and a present on Valentine's Day, you're like most guys in those relationships hear about it. They get a little chirp, right? They hear about it pretty quickly. Other couples, it's the opposite way. You know, it's the female in those relationships. It's the woman in those relationships who's making most of those decisions. We abdicate all sorts of things, not just home decor. But nowhere is it written that because I abdicated in my 24-year marriage something in year four, that it's going to be that way until death do us part. You can go back and change the way that you make decisions as a couple. Just actually talk about it. Make it an agenda. Don't let it get on that nullified agenda. Don't let it become a blind spot. Actually talk about why you're making the choices you're making.
We started talking about null agendas in this podcast. We have ended with, I think we could do an entire podcast, and we will, on abdication. But it's clear that those two are closely related. A lot of times that's how it happens, right? Because you're saying you handle it, and that can lead to a blind spot.
It can lead to a huge blind spot if you never revisit it.
And so I put out on Instagram this morning, like, hey, you guys have any marriage relationship questions? And of course, we got a lot about money. And Kendra, and I'm going to goof her last name here, asked, how do you find financial compromise when one is a spender and one is a saver? And which is essentially what we've been talking about. Penn and I are both spenders. Penn and I are both spenders. But it has forced
me. That's the compromise. One spending, one saving.
Well, that has forced me to take a role of, I have to, and which is so against my nature.
Every once in a while I have to do it too.
So both of us background, we're raised with, we were fine. I mean, fine, but not, we didn't have money to go out to dinner or like to buy guest jeans. Like I had like the generic of everything. You know, my grandmother made me, like Cabbage Patch dolls were the big thing. My grandmother made me, like she got a plastic head and sewed on a body because like we just didn't have money for that stuff. But we had, like we had food. We had
radish patch dolls.
Yeah, exactly. I had a radish patch doll.
I had bikies.
Yeah, instead of Nikes. So
my mom was so into buying me the hip thing 7 years after it was the hip thing, like, which was sweet, right?
Here's some Cavaricci's.
Oh my gosh, I just bought some Z Cavaricci's because we're doing some. Yes, I did.
Because
doing like an 80s fashion thing.
I was about to say it's in our foyer, but that's.
We do not have a foyer.
We don't have one.
It's our dining room that we've never eaten a meal in.
Right.
But,
because the color's terrible.
But what. One, I have been forced to take on the role of saver. Stop laughing at me. And then, so how do you, like, what is the script to compromise? You have to make a budget, which is annoying.
It's so annoying.
And then you have to. And
oh, crap. Are we going to actually have to do that after this podcast? We've tried this. What are we, 0-9 on this?
Because
you're 0-2 with me. Twice I've given you guys like make a family budget homework resource, and you're 0-2.
And I think that, so you have to make a budget. And then you have the saver has to agree that the spender can spend some money.
Right. Well, that's right. So you set some ground rules, Kendra and whomever else is listening. Number one, why is spending fun for you, the spender? And just let them talk. Mm-hmm. Let them unload that emotional thing. It's gratification. I feel like I'm rewarded for the hard work I do. I feel like the things that I'm able to buy make bring happiness into our home, bring a little bit of joy, right? And just let that person say it. And then the other person, right? Why is saving important to you? Because I don't want to be, 70 years old and, eating canned beans. I want to have the heat on when we're 70 or 80 or people live longer all the time. Why is saving important? It gives me a sense of security. It helps me know that we can get through a hard month if we have one. And simply understand that you both bring value to that conversation. No one is more valuable than the other.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, they both, like if you don't spend that $75 on the gallon of milk, Mr. 30 Rock, the kids aren't going to have milk, right? So they both are necessary in any family budget. And then you simply set up a plan. I will say that for people who have banks that will allow them save without having to think about it, that's mm-hmm. always the best strategy. So most of the money that my wife and I save, we never actually see.
Yeah.
It goes immediately into a savings account.
Yeah.
It goes immediately, that it's difficult to get money out of. That's right.
Yep.
It goes immediately into some investments that we have. Like, just go. That's always the easiest way to save.
Okay.
And then the spender never knew he or she didn't have it.
We're going to end on this.
Hold on. I do have...
We're not going to end on this.
No, I just have really... I have a really important question that I think is just going to... somebody has asked this, and I feel like this all marriages come down to this.
Your body language from the beginning of this to the end of this has become a little more aggressive. I'm just going to say that out loud.
I agree. So somebody asked...
Is that good?
No.
Okay.
So somebody has asked... No, it's not, honey. I'm just reading Instagram. He has asked, if I put the toilet seat down for her, should she put it up for me? And that I have never thought about before.
Can I say that I sat on an open toilet seat this week?
It's not bad.
It's the worst. Are you kidding
me? Did you get like a splashdown?
No, because I found it's I don't know why, but it's like 20 degrees colder than the other one.
Much colder.
It's that porcelain. Yeah.
It's because it's touching the water.
And it's touching the water. All sorts of.
And the water at this time of year is really cold.
No one warmed up the last one.
Oh, I know what you mean about splashdown. I did have a splashdown.
That your butt hit the water.
No, not that part. So.
Oh, my God. Penholderness. Pen.
Anyway, it's, you know, it was kind of one of those, this is what it feels like when doves cry moment. I felt empathy for women everywhere, except they don't have that other part that actually goes
into the water
if you're too low. Yeah.
Thanks.
Oh, my Lord. This is a family podcast, Mitch.
I had an actual relevant question beforehand, before you had your toilet seat thing.
Go ahead.
Last question for you, Chris. How does the bus driver in this money budget conversation... Is there something of value to that person making it fun somehow for the other person, like being like making it fun, like doable instead of just awful? Is there a way
like awful and terrible?
Is there an onus on the money person to use some jazz hands or other
if they can, right? But look, I mean, this is not going to come as a shock to anyone. But there are parts of human life and human relationships and marriages which are a slog.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I mean...
just a drag.
Just a drag. Like when you... If you have children, changing diapers is not fun. It's a slog.
Ugh.
It's just a slog. And when you are in a place in your marriage where you're spending a lot of money, like my wife and I just had to finally agree that as long as we had children in the home, we were not going to be saving as much money as we wanted to because like just activities fees at school, activities to play soccer, uniforms.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, we spend in some months a car payment, right? On uniforms for the different sports teams. And, you know, should your daughter not be able to play on her team because your son needs to play on his team? And as long as we can afford to provide those experiences to our kids, we're going to value that. But it's a slog looking at those uniforms because they get worn like 4 months and then they've outgrown them, right? It's just there are parts of a marriage that are slog. So, no, it is not on the bus driver to make it fun for the other person.
So the answer is no, Penn. No, I don't have to present next year's budget with glitter
or
and
jazz hands. But if you
mortgage.
But Susan, if you did that, Mitch might pay more attention.
And mortgage.
Maybe,
savings.
It's worth asking.
5, 6, 7, 8.
It's worth a try.
All right.
May I ask Christopher one question?
Yes.
Christopher, can I sit in on another couple's therapy session next time?
This couple's toast.
Yes. I think Penn, I do think, for the record, Penn and Cam are doing better than Mitch and Susan.
I just want to be like his wingman in all he does.
I know.
Can you imagine just being in the room listening to all different couples all day long like he does?
I know. It's a lot. And I do think, so one of the reasons
I just want to be right next to him the whole time.
It's a podcast.
Yeah.
Well,
but honestly, how many willing participants are there going to be for this?
Well, I think every couple coming in's name is Mitch and Susan.
Mitch and Susan.
Right.
And,
anonymity right there.
Yeah. I think.
And just make their voices like this. My wife never wants to make love to me. It's because you never have time to tell me how beautiful I am. Well, why are you always doing fantasy football? Well, why are you always buying the same pair of shoes over and over again?
Imagine.
They all sound like they kidnapped your kid.
It's so awful.
And then there's Christopher like,
well, Mitch.
I think we've got a podcast.
Yeah, let's
all
do
it. All a bunch of Liam Neesons.
I had no idea how good my kidnap voice was.
Yeah.
What's the name of that movie? Taken.
Yeah.
That's the Taken
voice. I have a very special set of skills. That's right. Oh my gosh, have you ever heard?
I've never seen the movie. That's the only thing I've
fine.
Ever I just hear
it's
on the radio.
You've seen it if you've seen
he's,
that.
He's scene. Unrealistically yeah. good at fighting for
people.
A 75-year-old, but
he's so cute. What?
He is. He's very cute. So you'll think he's cute. We need to cue up the when they asked him a question about actors' equity and equal pay for men and women. And he was like,
say?
Oh, it's a conversation we all need to be having. And, you know, the conversation started. We're doing the right things. We're making it closer. And the lady goes, would you be willing to take a pay cut for this? And he goes, no.
No.
Well, I don't think he should take a pay cut.
No, that's taking it too far.
I don't think he should take a pay cut. I think the women should just make more.
Should raise it up.
But the change of gears of him answering the question and then saying that.
Well, actually, what's so crazy, right, is that that's an example, the women that are in those films not making as much as the men, or the whole Me Too thing, where like it's this open secret that some people were harassed and had to endure that horrible humiliation to get parts,
mm-hmm.
and everybody knew it, but it was a blind spot, and nobody put it on
the
agenda.
Nobody
and
talked about
finally
it.
Finally, somebody put it on the agenda, and suddenly have things changed. I don't know. That's not my industry, or my world. But man, it's actually on the agenda. It's talked about now. It's incredible.
Okay. That being said, people did talk about it. Women talked about it, and they got blackballed. So that's why in a marriage, like bring it all home, that there are times where I've brought things up, and it has caused such a fight, and like that I just – that is why you avoid it. And now back to the show. What are we watching now?
This is it.
Okay. Healthy and necessary discussion about it, because the disparity sometimes is
shocking,
disgraceful.
How do you think we can move past that?
We're starting, and it has to start, you know. And it's starting with these extraordinary actresses, and brave ladies, and we as men have got to be part of it. You know, we started it, so we have to be part of the solution.
So would you take a pay cut to kind of equal things out?
No.
That's the way he says it.
No.
It's the quickest turn.
But that being said, women need to make more money. Well, thank you on that. No, I know. Christopher, thank you.
Always a joy to be here.
Well.
We'll see you next week.
And every week after.
Yeah, we're just going to... This is Chris month.
And so if you got it this far in the podcast and past Penn's kidnap voice, can you follow us on Instagram. Do you want to tell them our Instagram handle?
It's at the Holderness Family.
Take a screenshot and leave us a comment. We'll make sure to reply. And subscribe to this podcast, right, honey?
Yes, you can find it anywhere you get a podcast. On iTunes, on Google Listen, and on the other things.
Google
Listen is not a thing. This is usually your part, Kim.
And then you can leave a review because it helps other people find us. Thanks.
Thank you so much for listening.
Oh my God.
Scene.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.